Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to The Town Hall. Today, I am joined by Evan Toporek, a sustainable fashion pioneer. He's producing eco-friendly alternatives, and he's really created a cult brand of soft basics as CEO of Alternative Apparel. It is freezing in this podcast studio right now, and I promise you I'm not lying. I have an alternative eco hoodie that I am wearing right now. So Evan, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for being a customer. That's good news to us too.
Yeah.
Why don't you make it freeze everywhere?
It is. In Atlanta in this heat, every building is so cold, everyone should have a sweatshirt wrapped around their waist. Let's start off easy. Tell me a bit about your personal and professional background. How did you end up in the fashion industry?
Well, I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and I probably didn't see it coming, but I should have. My father had a camouflage clothing brand, and my grandfather had a military fatigues, contractorship where they would sew military fatigues. I didn't really think I was going to go in that direction, so I went to Georgia Tech. I got an industrial engineering degree and became a consultant with a huge company back then called Anderson Consulting, now known as Accenture. And did not actually think I was going to go in that direction. So I probably was no different than most people are today, just kind of seeking what they would do next in life. At about 4.5 years of being there, a close friend of mine had started this company already, Alternative Apparel. And it was him and his brother, his mother, and very creative guy, Greg Alterman was his name, wanted to design clothing and do marketing and really needed somebody to run and grow the business. I burned myself out of big corporate life and wanted to do something more entrepreneurial. So I bought into the business. That was 1998, and helped grow it to the point that we're at, over 150 people now and have been through a couple acquisitions and have, probably shipping around 1 million units of clothing a month.
We'll get into all of it, but what sparked your passion for environmental sustainability? What is the Alternative Apparel sustainability mission look like? I mean, it's a really big deal for you guys.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because today I think that just about every boardroom at every company is trying to address this issue, but we started tackling it long before it was really in vogue in corporate America to see it. I mean, in 2004 is when we launched a sub-brand called Alternative Earth. Now, over time, it would just become, something we would draw across our entire collection. So we got rid of the name Earth, but we had done enough trips, seen enough factories, done enough research to see that our industry was just not a great keeper of our environment. I mean, even today, as an industry, the fashion industry is the second highest polluter and second highest user of water. So it can get nasty. I think we're responsible for 10% of global carbon emissions. And this is a disgusting one. 85% of textiles are sent to landfills, which last I saw, I think was 21 billion tons annually. So it didn't take a lot for us to spot the need for somebody to start improving the way the fashion business was treating the environment. And so we just broke down our supply chain, found little things we could do to make a big difference. And collectively, I think we've done that. And it's a journey. I wouldn't say we've gotten to where we want to go. We keep making improvements.
So what are some of those little things? I'll bring up the sustainable packaging and, trying to close the loop. But you guys do work with a material that is actually made from plastic bottles, correct? So it kind of goes from the bottle to on your body through this process?
Correct. In fact, we use recycled polyester, which comes from recycled bottles. And last year alone, we recycled 1.8 million plastic bottles back into our clothing. But I mean, I think it's a two layers to your question, two answers I could give you. I think, first of all, I think the fashion world can use some of this logic of reducing, reusing, and recycle in our own way. And what I mean by that is we can buy less stuff. You don't have to just buy everything you like. What I would suggest people do are buy things that are durable and withstand the test of time. So you buy less, but you buy better. And then the nice thing about what we do, we're in casual clothing, is there's so much more occasions for use for what we sell now. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where you felt like you had to really dress up to go out to dinner. You can wear what we sell to work. You can wear it to and from the gym. You can wear it out at night. And so I just don't think you need as many things as you used to, as casualization has really become the norm. And then the other thing, you know, you can do is start paying attention to what's inside of the clothing. And that's when I'll get into to what we do. But there's a lot more organic and natural fibers being used, less chemicals needed to produce great clothing. And you could look for some of these signs. There's companies that like OKOtext or Blue Sign. You can look for those symbols on clothing to make sure they're chemical controlled or done in an environmental way when they produce fabrics. And there's even ways that you can care for it at home. You can wash it less. You can always wash it on cold, hang it to dry. And there's all kind of detergents out there now that are more eco-friendly. So specifically for us, 80% of what we sell is now made with sustainable materials and practices. So we've got a little bit more ways to go, but we're proud of where we've gotten. And here's some things that we do. We use organic cotton quite frequently. And last year, we used 60,000 pounds of it versus conventional cotton. You mentioned the recycled bottles. And that's a great piece of it. Even packaging, which you guys are completely familiar with in your business. We use 100% recycled packages, which, you know, over the last year, it saved 2,100 trees, 860,000 gallons of water. I think last I heard 120 tons of CO2 emissions. So even down to the way you ship your stuff, it can be done more environmentally friendly. Even our mailers, you know, the stuff that you order online shows up in your mailbox, they're biodegradable. So if they did find their way to a landfill, they would biodegrade in 18 months. I think typical plastic bags would take, I don't know, decades. So that's some of the stuff that we do in our business.
So, you know, we kind of talked about what you do in the realm of sustainability with the products, but I read an interview with you and you said something that really stood out to me. And I wrote the quote down in my notes. You said, "In our offices, showrooms, and our store, we use found objects from flea markets and bring them back to life as fixtures and interior decoration. Someone else's trash is our treasure. These are the small things that can make a big difference." So, I mean, couldn't agree more. What kind of things are you guys doing, maybe not from a product standpoint, but just from a company and culture standpoint, to close the loop?
Yeah, well, I mean, let me give you a perfect example that really goes back to what you just talked about. Our Abbot Kinney store, Venice Beach in LA, just a phenomenal. To me, it's the face of our company. It's such a cool store. We found a guy to help us build out that store. He had gone to LA like everybody, wanted to get into the movie business. But he had become a set designer. And he was involved in building these extravagant sets that would just be torn down after movies were produced and trashed. And he was disgusted with the way it was disposed of. So he started a business that took those items and turned them into fixtures for stores. And so when you walk in our Abbot Kinney store, and you'll see a bunch of things that look like old furniture or bedposts turned upside down, or, you know, things that you would have found on a movie set, we've reused them as store fixtures. And it's really cool. And also, it's just different. I mean, if you walk into your typical mall-based store, it's very cookie cutter. There's really no soul to the fixtures that they're using. So it's beyond just doing what's right. It's pretty damn cool.
Agreed. And, you know, alternative social responsibility is such a key focus too. You guys are affiliated with Fashion Revolution. A lot of your factories are RAP certified. And so for listeners who aren't familiar, two parts. One, what is Fashion Revolution? And two, what is a WRAP certification and why do you think it's so important?
So Fashion Revolution, it's a neat story that really came out of a terrible situation. It was founded by two UK designers back in 2013. And they found this organization on the day that the Rana Plaza collapsed in Bangladesh. It killed over 1,138 people. I'm not sure if you remember that story, but it was highly publicized. And it really showed the negative social story that can happen in the fashion business if you're not in the right certified places. So we joined that group, Fashion Revolution. It's meant to bring more transparency to the factories that you work in. And the real goal is to make sure, you know, clothing shouldn't come at the expense of the people or the planet. So WRAP certification is actually something we've gone beyond with the acquisition of our company by HanesBrands, which happened in 2017. And I think we all know Hanes, of course, from Hanes Underwear or just their iconic brand. They also own Champion. But what I didn't know until we went through our own due diligence in choosing a partner was how in-depth they get into their own social and environmental auditing and their care practices. I mean, they do 600 extensively scored audits of facilities a year, and there's zero tolerance. If you fail those, they won't work with you. The good thing with us is we had already been through WRAP certification. The factories we were using passed those audits. But even WRAP as an organization will go to HanesBrands for tips to try to improve the process they go through to qualify these factories. The other cool thing about Hanes, back to the environmental discussion, is how much they've done on their own climate protection. You know, as an example, in a CDP, in the 2018 climate change report, Hanes, they finished in the top 6% of 7,000 participating companies in what they're doing to prevent climate change. And then they've gotten this Energy Star Partner of the Year award for 9 straight years. So I don't think they talk enough about it. It was something we had no idea about. In fact, we're so proud of our 1.8 million bottles we recycle a year into clothing. I think they recycle 80 million. So we're going to help Hanes talk more about it because it's okay to be humble. But I think consumers really do want to know who they're working with. And it's been a neat part about our partnership with them that they want us to help them do more storytelling. So we're in the right hands.
Well, not only that, I think, you know, and I've said this on this show before, like our specific show is targeted towards millennials and the next generation of decision makers who want to do better things for the planet, who don't know where to start. So the easiest thing you can do is be a conscious consumer, is support brands and products that, you know, are doing the right thing on the back end. And you're absolutely right that Hanes doesn't tell their green story that much. And I think, again, you're right, it's out of humility. And they have some really lofty sustainability stewardship goals. Like, what was, so when they acquired, you said 2017, right? A couple years ago?
Yeah.
So what have you, you know, learned partnering with them for the past couple years? What was the acquisition and what's it been like for the brand?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, there's certainly been change. There's always change when you do something like this. We did choose them. Thankfully, we had multiple suitors. They were the best choice for us, for brand, for people, for the social and environmental reasons. We're just like-minded. There's been some really neat growth stories. I mean, people may not know this, but Hanes is the largest supplier in the college bookstore network, for example. And so we're already, our brand Alternative is already sold in over 200 college bookstores. And we've had some testing and exposure to selling through some of their international divisions, which has been really cool. And then we've brought a lot to the table as well. I mean, this will sound funny, but Champion didn't have any full price retail stores before we arrived. And we had a small little team with just our own 3 stores, you know, managing those. Hanes asked our small team to help them open Champion stores, something I never really saw coming. And we did a really good job with that. So it's definitely been different being part of a huge public company, but they've been cautious to not mess with our culture. I mean, even to the point that we have a dog-friendly environment, there was no way they were going to take that away. And I think that in the experience they've had through acquiring companies and how much they saw that culture mattered to us, they've been really, really good. to us in trying to grow the right way.
I love that you've been able to maintain that small startup vibe in a, you know, umbrella corporation. I think that's really unique.
Yeah, it's still public. There's certainly a whole new level of compliance and reporting, but they're good people and they've treated us right. And I shouldn't even say they anymore. That's the wrong. I mean, we.
We're
good people.
Yes, you are. Okay, Evan, I want to play a game with you. It's a town hall staple game. Yep. It's rapid fire. I'm going to shoot off a few random questions, and all you have to do is say the first thing that comes to your head. You ready?
I don't think so, but we got to do it. Let's go.
I mean, they're not terrible. This is again, you know, we are also under a large corporation. You know, it's not as creative as I'd like to be. But number one, what is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
The first thing I do that I get up in the morning, I stretch.
What is one piece of advice that you'd give to a budding entrepreneur?
Persistence pays off.
What has been a true standout moment in your career thus far?
Watching a temporary warehouse worker of ours become a star salesperson in less than 3 years.
What is one TV show that you can watch over and over and over again and not get sick of it?
One TV show over and over again and not get sick of it? Probably a brain dead stupid movie like Step Brothers.
Who is the last person that you texted?
The last person I texted, my wife.
This one always trips people up. If any actor, dead or alive, could play you in the movie of your life, who would you cast as yourself?
I've completely thought about this. I've got the answer. Paul Rudd.
Well, that's a good one. He's a nice guy.
I think he's a nice guy, about the same age. I like his roles.
He's a Midwestern kid from Kansas. That's a nice guy. What do you think has been your best Halloween costume?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. Oh, that's not going to be easy to answer.
I went
to Georgia Tech, so I dressed up as the biggest possible nerd you can imagine. Tape and the glasses and pocket protector and just huge glasses. I don't know. I went deep into looking like a tech nerd 1 year.
Yeah, I'm sure you fit right in. What is your go-to movie snack? Like, what do you get if you're going to go see a movie?
I mean, something like almonds. I'm not a big candy guy, but I'm a huge ice cream guy. Huge. You'll never meet a bigger ice cream lover.
What's the best? Okay, scratch that question. What's your favorite ice cream?
Edie's Rocky Road.
Huh. Interesting. That's classic.
Yep. Old school. They should send me a framed something. I'm sure I'm their best customer.
Yeah, they should sponsor you. So this will play into the ice cream question a little bit, but how do you unwind at night?
I flip channels. I try to find something I don't have to think too hard about, and that seems to do it for me.
What is one fashion trend that is popular now that you just wish was not?
Oh, man. Let me think about that one. I'm not sure I get the whole high-waisted thing. I know that women would disagree with me, but I'm not a huge fan of the high-waisted jean.
Okay. And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Watching other people around me succeed.
You guys, alternative apparel is found. I mean, you can purchase online. I saw stuff at Nordstrom, like they're talking about Abbot Kinney, the storefront. You can find it anywhere. You can follow them on Instagram. And if you live in Atlanta, it's a really cool company. You guys are in Norcross, right?
We are.
So you're right in our own backyard. And I'm, you know, unlike Hanes and their humility, I'm super honored to be able to tell your green story. And I learned a lot today. And thank you for coming on and kicking off our summer.
Well, I appreciate the time. And let me tell the Atlanta people a fun thing. I've got to get the date, but it's even easier because just come to our website, sign up for our newsletter, or follow us on Instagram. We have twice a year these warehouse sales, and they are crazy with bargains and people. And it's fun, and we raise money for good causes. So this summer, we've got one coming up in a couple weeks. It'll be an easy way to get some neat things and do good.
Yeah, you have my cell phone number. You better text me, and I will, you know, be at the front of the line like Black Friday, just tackling someone for another sweatshirt.
And thank you to your company for what you guys are trying to tackle. It's ambitious. We're following it. And it's really a neat story. So we're all in this together.
Yes, we are. That's the only way we're going to make some real change. Evan, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.